Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for all your blessings that you shower upon us. Receive now from us a portion of those blessings, which we return to you. We pray you'll bless them and multiply them for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Let us come now before the throne of grace, before our Heavenly Father, who desires to have his children come to him in prayer and in worship. And so, Father God, we have gathered here today, your children, we've gathered here as a family. We've come to bring you praise and worship in song and in music and in message. We ask you to be present with us by your Holy Spirit. Hear us this morning, Father, we pray. Lord, we pray your blessing upon Don and Melody Grove. Lord, we pray for your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we pray for their safety and for their daughter Annie. Lord, we ask you to surround them with angels of protection and let them do their work. Let your word go out from them into the hearts and minds of those people and bring revival and renewal to that part of the world. Lord, we pray for the members of our congregation who are suffering from health issues. Lord, we're thinking of Al Moyer and his hip and his ongoing health issues. Lord, we just pray again for your healing touch on his body. Lord, we pray for his dear wife, Barb, who cares for him and looks after him. We pray for your blessing upon her too. Lord, we pray for Marge Boyd after a knee surgery. Lord, we pray for the swelling to go down and for the pain to be eased, and that she will come to full recovery. Lord, we miss her and Gord when they are unable to be here, but Lord, we know it's because of the illness. And so we ask for your touch again on them and on Marge's body, Lord, to bring to full restoration and full recovery. Lord, we pray for Jack Young, Myrna's husband, Lord, who is suspected of having a stroke, Lord. We still do not know the diagnosis, but you do. Lord, you know what's going on there, Lord, and again, we pray for your healing touch. A word from you, Lord, will bring complete healing. And again, we pray for Myrna as she cares for her husband. Again, bring peace to that home, Lord, and let your presence be felt there even today. And we pray for George, Lord, who's not with us today because he is sick. Lord, we just pray you'll bring quick healing to his body as well. And we pray for our dear sister Eva, Lord, who's having chemotherapy. Lord, we pray for the nausea. We pray against the nausea, Lord, and we pray for your healing on her body. And we pray for Anthony, her husband, Lord, as they minister together to each other. Lord, we pray for peace in their home and peace in their hearts. Lord, globally, Lord, we pray for a continued peace in the Olympics. Lord, we pray that no terrorists will have their way, that you will surround the athletes and the organizers of that event, Lord, with your protection, Lord, and do not let the evil one have his way with violence and death and destruction. Lord, we just again pray your protection on Sochi and all the people there. We pray in Jesus' name. And now in the quietness of this place, we've set apart for worship. In your own hearts, lift your own personal prayers up to the Lord, for he is waiting to hear from you. Father God, you do hear the prayers of your children. So, Lord, we ask you to hear the prayers that have been offered up here this morning, for we have prayed them in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme of today is fishing and being fishers of men. Many of you know I have taken up in recent years my second favorite winter pastime of ice fishing. My first favorite is throwing an extra log on the fire and cozying up in front of it. But I've taken up ice fishing. It was my former pastor, Murray Stovell from Uxbridge, has become a wonderful friend. And He encouraged me over a number of years to come out ice fishing. And of course, me being the kind of guy I am, ice fishing, like, you mean go out on the ice and fish? But he persisted, and I found it can be quite a relaxing day sitting in a warm, and is warm, ice hut, feeding the fish. Because that's usually what we end up doing, is just feeding the fish, not actually catching them. And I have to say that I could not feed my family on what I catch, although I do occasionally bring one home. Last week I brought home a 5-pound whitefish, which was very tasty. So there are lessons to learn from the act of fishing, or the sport of fishing, or the business of fishing. And for me, patience is one of them. Being patient. I've got a couple of texts today from Scripture, and it's around this theme of fishing, and John has mentioned it already to the children. And it tells us something about fishing, and we know the analogy. And sometimes when we read these scriptures, we read the metaphor first, because we've heard it before and we know what Jesus is talking about. But let's read below the metaphor and into the text itself and see the work that goes on. What are the work words that are in these texts about the disciples as fishermen? So our first reading will be from Matthew 4, and then I'll read into Luke 5. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. Let me just pray. Lord, just bless the reading of this word today. Lord, may we enter our heads, but also enter our hearts and come to a full understanding of why you put these texts in your holy word, the scripture. Amen. So, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now in Luke chapter 5, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water, let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come to them and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Lord, bless the reading of your word today. So these stories center on fishing boats and their owners, operators. And we have to read the text, and we have to say, what can we learn from these stories about the nature of fishing and the nature of the men who do this kind of work? And sometimes, as I said, sometimes we can read the text and sometimes we can miss some of the detail. Now, listed in these texts are several jobs associated with the work that these men did. And remember, these men later became the disciples and the first evangelists and preachers. And from this work, we realize that there's preparation work that needs to be done, preparing the nets. There's the mending of the nets that was being done. There's casting out nets. There's pulling them back in. There's going out into deep waters, facing the dangers of the work. There's working hard all night and not catching anything, and being very tired the next day. There's working as a team, and there's working as partners with other teams. It's all part of the job description for a fisherman. So why do we ask then, did Jesus call these kinds of men? I believe it's because they had precisely the skills and the character requirements to become the first men called to kingdom work. See, kingdom work requires preparation, preparing the nets, casting the net, knowing how to handle the net, knowing when to start bringing it in. How to do that work of casting the net into the community carefully and effectively. There's the challenge of deep water. There's the challenge of going deeper in your faith, going into dangerous areas that are scary for you. It requires hard work. And I know that from working on the teams here, many people in this church do work well into the night at meetings and planning and organizing. It requires working with partners. It requires sharing the work one with another. And in our community of Newmarket, it requires sharing work with the other congregations when the opportunity arises. You see, ministry and mission is not a Lone Ranger assignment. And Jesus is using the fishing metaphor for a reason, because the church is all about catching people for the kingdom. The church is that fishing vessel. On a fishing boat, these boats that we're looking at, you all catch the picture of these fishing trawlers out on the lake there, Galilee, the men working hard, throwing the nets in, bringing it back. There's no passengers on a fishing boat. No passengers. Everybody on board is there for a reason and for a purpose. Everyone has a job to do. You're either preparing the nets, you're working the nets, you're guiding the boat, you're watching out for danger, you're keeping the crew fed and rested, you keep the rigging and the sail all in good repair. There's lots to do, lots of work to do on a fishing boat, and there's no room for passengers. It's not a place of entertainment. You want entertainment? You go on a cruise ship. You don't go on a fishing ship. Go on a cruise ship. So we're talking about fishing vessels here, and it's dangerous work. It's hard work, and it's teamwork. Jesus said, put out into deep water. We use water today as lakes and waters as a field of entertainment. We love to go to the lake for our vacations. We have no fear of the water. Back in that day, they did have fear. Storms could come very, very quickly. Very, very dangerous work. Jesus calls us to that. He calls us, go into the dangerous places. Go deeper. We're being called out of our comfort zone. Out of our comfort zone. See, the fishing work in the church is for those who are prepared to take risks, prepared to give up the comfort and take risks, give up their time. There's an expression that's associated with fishing. You've heard it before, fish or cut bait. It means there's work to do and everyone must chip in. You've either got to be doing the fishing or preparing the bait. There isn't a third job. You've got to be part of the work of the kingdom. Fish or cut bait. Everyone must do their piece. Everybody's got to find out what their job is in the church, in the body of Christ. Find out what they're called to and get to it. Join a team. Be part of the work. There should be no one on board who's not working. We're in the season right now of recruiting members for our various teams, and many of you have been asked to join the teams. And we're very grateful for those who have said yes, who put up their hand and said, yes, I'll join that team. It's a team effort. It's a team effort. Find a role, find a purpose, and contribute to the team's building or fulfilling of the Great Commission. Our job is to make disciples and to teach them all that Jesus taught, all that we've been taught. And every one of us has witnessed to someone who brought them to faith. And it's our job to continue that exercise of introducing someone else to the faith and bringing them on board. But at the individual, that's the church level, the corporate, like, if you like, the body, all of us working together on the vessel, the ship, if you like. But there's still an individual component. Each one of us is called to be salt and light wherever we find ourselves. If I can go back to ice fishing again, even when I've done everything, set the hook, set the bait, set the line, there are days when you realize that the fish just ain't biting. They're just not there. So we bring up the line and we check the bait. Often in my case, the bait is gone because a sneaky fish has come along and eaten the bait but not taken the hook. Or my little minnow or minnows are no longer very lively. And you have to, what we call, freshen up the bait. We pick a lively minnow, bait the hook once again, and see if that works. There's a story of an old man who was out ice fishing on the lake, and he'd been out there all day, getting very, very cold, and he'd caught nothing. And a little boy comes along and sits down by the hole just a few feet away, pops his line in and pulls out a fish almost immediately. The old man's very shocked at this. Thinks that's odd. I've been here all day. He comes here a few minutes. He's got a fish. The little boy puts his line back down, pulls out another fish. The old man's getting a little rattled about this. Boy does it again. Throws his line down the hole. Pulls up a third fish. The old man says to the young fellow, he says, "Hey, I've been here all day, not caught anything. What's your secret?" The little boy says, "Ruff-a-rum-a-rum-a-rum." The man says, "What?" The boy says, "Ruff-a-rum-a-rum-a-rum." And the man says, "I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying." The little boy goes, "You have to keep your worms warm." We have to use the right bait. It has to be fresh bait. So it is with us when we go out into our day and we step out into the world. Like tomorrow morning is Monday and most of you are going to be at work or at school. You're going to be doing something. And we have to be the kind of people that are attracted to something about us. We have to be good, lively bait. That person in the office, that person in the store, that person in the classroom, that teacher you work with, has got to come up to you and say, "What is it about you? You have a joy about you. You have a peace about you. And yet, all the world around us is in turmoil, and there's trouble, and the company's not doing well, yet you have a peace. You have a joy. What is it about you?" And that's our opportunity, is the peace of God that's in each one of us as saved and redeemed holy people. As that light shines out from us, people are attracted, and that's the bait. But we've got to be that. If you go into work Monday morning with a grouch on your face, it's Monday morning, that's not attractive. That's not attractive. People aren't going to warm to you if you're one of those Monday morning people. When Jesus told the disciples that they were going to go into the world and be fishers of men, they were going to bring the gospel of God's peace and God's love, and they were going to present the message. They were going to have to bait the hook somehow to get people interested in what we have to say. And our best way for us to do is to live it. Best way for us to be fishers of men and women is to live out the love, joy, peace, patience, the full fruit of the Spirit that indwells each one of us. And then you get people's attention, and then you can begin the conversation. I've said before, it's the first question anybody asks you on Monday morning when you get to work. How was your weekend? Tell them. Don't tell them about Friday night and Saturday. Tell them about Sunday morning. Bait the hook. Tell them you had a wonderful time at worship on Sunday morning. The sermon was, okay. But, you know, you had a wonderful time. It baits the hook. They say, oh, what kind of church do you go to? And now the conversation has begun. Most people are interested. Some will just turn away, but most will engage in the conversation. It's an opportunity for you and I to be fishers of men. But here's a problem. The problem with fishing is, although we're very excited, is what happens when you land the fish? What happens when you have a good day at the lake and you bring home your quota, which isn't very much actually in Ontario for trout and whitefish, but anyway, you bring home your quota. Fish are messy. They're messy when you try to prepare them. And some people don't like the messy, so some fishermen are catch-and-release fishermen. They don't actually want to take the fish home, so they pride themselves in catching a fish and then releasing it. And then they like to just talk about the experience. And I'm concerned that the church in the West has taken something of that attitude, is that we're content to talk about our experience, but we don't like the messiness of bringing fresh fish on board. Because when we bring new people into the community, when we open the doors and say, wherever you're from, wherever you are, come on in and join us worshiping God. We meet people who have a different background. They've come from a different place. They may be thinking a little bit differently from us. They don't talk our language, maybe. And it gets messy. The thing is, we've got to be prepared to let go of our comfortable ways, to relinquish them, so we can embrace the discomfort of newness, of new voices, new people coming into our community. And it's messy work. It's discomforting. It's deep waters. It's change. It's scary. It's interesting, this miracle of the great catch occurs right at the very beginning of Jesus calling his disciples, and it occurs again at the very end. And they're two different stories with exactly the same result. So I'm going to read to you from John 21, very end of John's Gospel. Jesus has died, he's been resurrected, he's appeared to his disciples on several times, and now he appears to them once again in John 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, and the other two disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. There's your teamwork. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Again, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Now there's faith, right? It's Jesus, straight out of the boat into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Interesting that Jesus should use this, or the scriptures should record this event, because it's not a parable. These are two actual events at the very beginning and the very end of the calling of the disciples. And it's the same calling for us. If we will follow Jesus, if we will go out there into the deep water, If we will all work as a team and we will cast the net, there will be such a large haul of new believers from Newmarket that we will not be able to contain them. And we're going to have to reach out to the other evangelical churches in the community and say, we've got too many. We need help. It's right there. Read it. It's right there. Jesus calls each one of us to be fishers. We're to be people whose lives are so lived that people take notice and ask why. And the church is, as a church, as a body of believers, we're called to be a vessel whose purpose is to catch fish, catch new believers. We're to bring in all who are being saved. And each one of us needs to find our role and our purpose on this ship. If we see ourselves, all of you who call on the name of the Lord, all of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, okay, then you've been called to this particular ship. That's why you're here today. And this is the vessel, one of the vessels that Jesus, that God has planted here in Newmarket. We're here for a purpose beyond ourselves. If you're on board this vessel, then you have a job to do. You've got to decide what that job is. And there's no job marked passenger. Everybody's got work to do. Now, I hope I haven't carried the fishing metaphor too far here. It's right there throughout Scripture. And it's used so often. But there it is. In the plain text of the word. We are to be fishers of men, fishers of people. We are to guide our ship, Christian Baptist Church, into the deep waters of the lost and fallen in this community. We are to seek those who are lost, and we're to bring them on board. And we're to teach them everything that we know from Scripture, and then we put them to work as kingdom workers. Let's go fishing. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your word that gives us such clear pictures. Doesn't just explain what we've got to do, but gives us pictures of the fishing vessel, the deep water, the casting of the net, the teamwork, the partnerships with others, other vessels. Lord, let us catch that spirit. Let us catch the fire of being evangelists, of being the men and women of this church who go out into this community and bring in the catch. Lord, bless us this year. Bless all those people who have put their names forward for teams and team leadership this year. Lord, and pray in our ministries that we engage in, Lord, we pray that they will all be fruitful and they will be fruitful for the kingdom. Hear our prayer, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we have our marching orders, if you like. I don't want to mix all the metaphors. But we are supposed to be fishers of men. As you go from this place, prepare yourself to be the bait that attracts. And then you can tell people what's going on in your heart. Go in peace. God loves you and he's calling you to work. Amen.